Hey, Megan, are you afraid of any ghosts?
No.
Me either.
How could I ever be afraid of Ghost Host?
I know. We know Ghost Host, so that just by our nature, we're not afraid of no ghosts.
We're a ghost-friendly podcast, a ghost-friendly organization.
Yeah, we are.
We've been kind of at the forefront of pioneering, like, some ghost forward-thinking organizational stuff.
We really have. We were recently given a Ghost Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and the reason we're talking about ghosts is Megan and I are in costume to celebrate the spookiest of holidays, Halloween, on this very special episode.
In my book, it's the second spookiest.
What's the first spookiest?
The first spookiest? New Year's.
Why? Why?
I don't know.
Just because by the end of the night, you don't know what you've done.
Like, it happens. You're so drunk. It happens at midnight. It's the latest holiday.
Spooky. So spooky. And if you couldn't figure it out, Megan and I are dressed as Ghostbusters this episode.
Yeah.
So if you want to see our sweet costumes, which I think we look exactly like the characters in the film.
Exactly.
Head on over to Larian Community College this week and check out our video version of this podcast. It's pretty fly. Mm-hmm. Megan, you're freaking me out right now because you look exactly like Ultimate.
I don't have the right glasses. I'm just wearing my glasses.
Oh, yeah. You need, like, the little goggles.
Yeah. But these are not too bad. These aren't too shabby.
I'm very excited. So we've got the spookiest of episodes lined up for you because we're going to talk about something really scary.
Which is?
A fearless magic inventory.
Oh, that's right. It's scary, but you have to be fearless when you make it.
Yeah.
And it's scary because mistakes.
Because you got to admit, you know, things you don't like about yourself. That's terrifying.
The scariest thing out there is introspection.
Do you know what the number one fear in the world is?
Spiders.
No.
Ghosts.
No.
Zombies?
No.
Gray hair.
Public speaking.
Really?
It's ranked higher than death, Megan.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That really puts like a whole new, that gives me a whole new perspective on making kids like present for their classes.
I thought you were just going to stop at making kids. You're like, why bother bringing a child into this world?
If they're going to be afraid of public speaking.
Yeah, like, it's twisted.
Yeah.
But, you know, you and I are here to do all the public speaking for anybody who doesn't want to do it.
Yep, and then some.
So we're going to talk about a fearless magic inventory, and we'll tell you why it will benefit you to make one of those coming up in our For the Noob segment. We're going to talk about Commander 2016. It's really spooky because there's...
Well, there's some scary angels.
Scary angels.
There's some scary angels in there. There's some horrors.
Yeah.
In there. And there's partnership. Another scariest thing out there.
Agree.
Yeah.
And we're also going to talk about the Pro Tour Gauntlet. So Pro Tour Kaladesh just happened. And you get to play with the decks that the pros played with at the Pro Tour. So spooky. Because you don't have to pay a lot of money to have the deck. Whoa, that's scary. You get it for pretty cheap for playing Magic Online. So I'm really stretching here.
Yeah, you really are. It's, you know, the Pro Tour Gauntlet is spooky because you're facing the unknown.
There we go. Nailed it.
Yep.
This makes me want to ask, call out, follow us at MTAcast on Twitter. Tweet us pictures of your costumes. I just really want to see them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have any other reason, but I just want to see your sweet costumes.
You don't have some sort of ulterior motive?
No, I don't. I'm certainly not making a creepy listener scrapbook.
Oh my god. That would be exceptionally creepy.
Megan's like, one day you're just like searching around my house.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be like poking this? Through and be like, what is it?
And that's when the creepy little violins come in the movie and you see me, you turn around and see me standing behind you with like a knife and like a bowl of cake batter. And I'm like, you know, because I was like cooking.
A knife and a bowl of cake batter?
Yeah.
What were you cooking?
Murder cakes.
Okay.
Before we get into our spookiest episode of all time, we've got to thank our sponsors and you, because guess what? You guys out there are our sponsor.
Yes, thank you so much to everyone who supports us on Patreon. At the end of the episode, we will tell you about the new Patreon reward system that we're going to have starting in November. But for everyone who donates, thank you so much. You help make this possible.
Yeah, we can't thank you enough, literally. We also have to thank Card Kingdom because they're another sponsor of the show. CardKingdom.com/MTAcast is where to go to buy all of your singles. You can trade cards in for packs so you can draft some more. If draft's more your style than standard, hey, we get it. Yeah. But fuel the need. Fuel the need. CardKingdom.com. Exactly. That's your new slogan. You're welcome.
Fuel the need.
That's a probably already Mountain Dew slogan.
It really feels like it. No, isn't there like do the do?
It is.
Okay. But Fuel the Need was like on their top list it when they were like making them. That was in the final bracket.
It also could be like for those hungry man, like 1 minute, 5 pound meals that you put in the microwave.
Did you say a 1 minute, 5 pound meal?
I did. I don't think they're actually 1 minute microwave meal, but they've definitely seen like hungry man, 5 pounds of food. Like
that is. Haven't not I? A thing.
I'm gonna have to look it up because my memory is doing it's probably 1 pound now that I think about it.
Like a 1 pound burger? Are you thinking of like
I guess what, like
thinking of like quarter pounders, half pounders, full pound burger?
Maybe it's a frozen dinner that was like 1 pound of food in this frozen meal. 5 pounds though would be so good. You would feel so dead. Anyway, cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. Feel the need. They have great customer service and they ship at lightning fast speeds. And if them being a sponsor of the show isn't enough proof that they're awesome, go there and buy something from them and they'll prove it to you themselves. For the noobs, Fearless Magic Inventory.
That's right, everybody. Back in, I think it was 2007, Sam Stoddard had an article and a couple of things that he called his Fearless Magic Inventory. And if you Google it, the article will pop up. And in it, he talks about how he was going through kind of a slump in his play.
Yeah.
He had been doing well, then he had taken a couple of months off to finish up school. And then he started playing again, and he just was not having the same results. And he was, at first, he was just like blaming it on just kind of like everything on
else.
Like variance, on luck, on, yeah, just like everything. And then he was like, wait a second. The common denominator is like me. As it is in all of your magic play, the common denominator is you.
Yes.
Unless you always wear the same pair of pants, in which case it's you and that pair
and
of pants.
And your pants.
And so he sat down and he made his list is like 30 things.
Wow.
His list is so long, but it's very detailed. And in it, he lists all of the different things that he knows he doesn't do well enough.
Yeah. And so this topic, by the way, was suggested by somebody who's a patron.
Yes, that is correct.
So thank you for this topic. It's a great idea because everybody who probably is listening to the show wants to become a better player. And if you don't, I don't know, either you're already the best in the world and you probably don't listen to the show or...
You're just, like a casual player.
You're just fine where you are, which is totally fine.
You're like, I'm chill.
I'm chill. I'm just playing kitchen table, which is cool too. But if you want to improve your skill, this is a fantastic tool to be able to do it. And I want to point out, whenever we do Magic the Pro the Ring, kind of one of the recurring themes I'm hearing pros talk about is the moment when they start accepting blame for like their bad play or not being better than they could be at the game when they the moment when they're like, you know what, I stopped blaming everybody else, I stopped not listening to advice, and I really took stock of who I am and the way I'd been playing, and it really leveled me up. So that's what this is, this tool is meant to be able to do.
This subject brought to us by Adam Vartanian.
Oh thank you Adam. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So the idea is you make a list of everything that you think that you are bad at in Magic, right?
Yes. Or basically just
that like, you want to improve. Have this,
yeah. All of the areas that you think that you could improve. Mistakes that you know you consistently make.
Okay.
Things that you're botching it big time, buddy.
But this isn't like to make you feel bad.
No.
Because the first step is admitting there's a problem, right?
Exactly.
And that's not a bad thing. We're just trying to be honest with ourselves.
That slogan we definitely didn't make up first.
No. Hungry Man definitely did admit there's a problem. Step one.
Is your hunger? Hungry Man. Step one. Admit you're hungry.
Step two. Eat 5 pounds of food. Anyway, you can also make a list of things in Magic you're really good at to go alongside this, which I think is a good idea.
Which is something I was naturally thinking about while I was making this list.
Yeah.
Which was kind of nice also, you know.
So, Megan, what do you want to first just talk about what you have on your list?
Sure. My list is long.
It's very long.
It is. But, you know.
That's good. You're detailed.
You know, I started titling it, What's Wrong With Me?
That's an unhealthy way to look at it, but all right.
Okay, so my first one is, I let decision fatigue muddle my play even when I can tell it's happening.
Decision fatigue. It's real.
So that's like late, you know, if it's late in rounds at a GP, I can tell that I'm making worse decisions because I'm tired, and then I just do it anyway.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I felt that, you know,
for sure.
Yeah.
That's, is there a reason that it's number one? Do you think it's your most...
I don't know. I just kind of started. I think it's one of like the more obvious ones that I've noticed lots. Like it was, you know, when I sat down to make this, I wrote down the things that I thought of like right off the top of my head first. I don't care about winning every game often enough to the extent that I think it makes me a lazier player overall.
Yeah, I think that's true. You're like, oh, well, I've got two more.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Or even like sometimes on Magic Online, if it's like late and I started a draft and I'm just like, well, do you know what? Like, I'm okay if I don't win this match.
Oh, yeah.
And I've it's like, well, no, I should be playing as if I want to win that match because otherwise I get, you know, I develop into a lazy player. Let's see. I don't listen to what I need between rounds at a tournament. Which is just being, like, general, like, self-care at a tournament. I think that I, you know, like, I don't always, like, bring something to eat or, like, drink enough water or find, like, some quiet space to just be quiet and alone.
Or take a moment to go to a water fountain and drink out of it like a little raccoon.
Yes. No, I washed my hands out of that fountain like I was a raccoon.
It happened at GP Minneapolis and it was so beautiful.
I washed my hands in a water fountain exactly like a raccoon with, like, the, like... Okay, anyways. I don't know when I should and when I shouldn't trust my gut.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell when I'm having a gut feeling about something.
That's a great point.
Yep. Yeah. But I haven't ever, I haven't gotten to a point where I either consistently know when I should trust it and when I shouldn't trust it, or when I'm, like, just consistently trusting it every time.
I can raise my hand on that one for sure, because a lot of the time I'm like, oh, well, they have X. And I like know that they do, but I still play like they don't.
Yeah. And it's like, why? Why did you bother thinking? Why did you bother letting yourself like think that they had it if you weren't going to listen to it? Or like mulligans sometimes, I think I do that where I'm just like, I have a gut feeling that I have a gut feeling that I like shouldn't mulligan hands. And I think that there are times when I throw away hands that I should have kept.
Interesting.
Let's see, which brings me to, I still make bad mulligan and keep decisions in every format.
I think that's true for everybody. It's so tough.
It is. It's really hard. I let my mind wander during games. Mm-hmm. Just happens. I always assume my opponent will make the correct play.
Which is a weird one.
But I'm talking about in situations where if they make the correct play, they win the game and there's nothing I can do about it. I always assume, I'm like, oh, well, they're obviously going to do it. And so I don't play to like the slim chance that they don't. And like it definitely happens. And there's, you know, there's different margins on how much your opponent, like on how obvious the play is or not. But I think no matter how obvious I feel it is or not, I'm always just like, yep, they're definitely going to make the correct play. Like I've lost, whatever.
Yeah, there's something to be said. People say, you know, don't underestimate your opponent, which I think is very good advice. But I also think that you should make them make the mistake.
Yeah.
Is a way to put it. Like,
or make them make the correct play.
Or make them make the correct play. Correct. Yeah. So like that's what I was when I was playing soccer when I was younger. That's what my coach would always say. Let them make the mistake.
Yeah.
So just give them the opportunity to mess it up and then you win games out of nowhere. Sometimes it really does happen.
Yeah. I don't think I do that. I play sloppily against players I assume aren't good. I play too timidly against players I think are better than I am.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, which is, like, such a weird dichotomy. But, like, I think that when I sit down, and I think I will do it, I think I do it with almost everybody.
Yeah.
I make an assumption with, like, I think it's usually how confidently they shuffle.
Shuffling does,
and stuff like that. Yeah. It's, like, I think it's very much based off of how confidently they present themselves. If it's very confident, I usually assume that I'm worse, and I'll play too timidly. And if it's not confident, I'll assume that they're... that they're worse than I am. And then if they're not confident, I assume that they're worse.
Right.
If they are confident, I assume that I'm worse. And I think that both times I don't play optimally.
You know what? This is something I've been thinking about too. Like after we went to Minneapolis, which is a kind of a little while ago now.
Yeah.
It made me think that, you know what, Megan? Hmm. We're pretty okay Magic players. Like, I'd even put us in the good category at this point.
Yeah.
Like, we're not pro level, you know what I mean? And certainly not me. But, like, you know, for the majority of people who come and play, like, we've been playing for 4 years. And we've been playing pretty dang steadily for 4 years.
Yeah, totally.
And we should, like, not underestimate ourselves. Even when we sit down across from somebody who's, like, shuffling like a maniac. And they're just like... Hyrule, and you're just
and they give you like that like ice cold like thousand yard stare of just like I've seen this battlefield so many times.
But like honestly, we've probably seen it just as many times as they have.
Yeah,
and even if they've been playing longer, we certainly play heavier. You know, like we play a lot of Magic.
What are you saying about my playing?
I'm saying we play a lot of Magic. Anyway.
Let's see. I'm bad at being proactive and I'm reactive when I shouldn't be. That's just like, I think that I tend to be a very reactive player, and I think that there are definitely formats and games where you need to be proactive, and I'm not very good at it. Which is why it's been fun playing Elves. Very proactive.
Yes.
When it's difficult to think multiple turns ahead, I just don't do it.
This is,
I just give myself a pass. I'm just like, I don't know.
What happens.
Well, okay. And it's like when it's not too difficult, like I find myself doing, like if I'm doing it intuitively, I'm like, okay, cool. And if it's not like super intuitive, I don't push myself to do it.
Well, think about this. So thinking plays ahead is difficult. It is very hard.
Yeah.
And it tires your brain out. And then say the things don't happen the way that you expected or that you planned out in your head. And you're like, oh, why did I waste all that brain power trying to think ahead when it didn't matter? But like it trains your brain, right? And so the next time in the future, it will not be that difficult to think of this kind of like similar line of play again, or to plan out a couple of turns ahead. It'll be easier and your brain will create these mental shortcuts. And that's what we see when we see somebody like Shota playing, because he is thinking 4 turns ahead, but he's done it so much and he's trained himself so hard that it's just like really fast.
Yeah.
That's the second time I made the sound effect in this show.
Was it for fast both times?
Yep.
Okay, good. So make sure like we're giving consistency here.
This is just what I need to think about. Like, okay, it's hard now. It'll be easier in the future.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it is to the point where there are like some situations where it's pretty easy. And it wasn't always that way.
That's true.
But now it's like when they aren't easy, I'm just like, no. No, never mind.
Can I make an illustration of this? So this is my, if anybody out there is a newbie playing Magic, which you may be if you're listening to our show, when you're playing Magic, I'm drawing like a big, like crazy circle of like messed up lines right now.
You literally just scribbled on the page.
That's what it can feel like, okay? But over time, as you play, your squiggles will turn more into this. And I just drew a nicer circle.
It's a circle.
So like, this is how you feel. But after time and practice, it'll turn more into this, which is much easier.
Weird.
I'm an artist.
Oh, my pen.
Anyway.
Okay. When it's difficult. Oh, wait. Yep. I already did that one. I'm bad at evaluating which creatures I should kill. I think I'm just bad at. Yeah, I'm just bad at being like, that needs to die now, or that's, like, fine. I don't take time to know all the instants in a format. That's easy to fix.
Yeah.
I don't know constructed metagames well enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, I should know what people are going to bring in out of the sideboard. I'm an inconsistent sideboarder. Speaking of sideboards, there are times even when I've, like, practiced sideboarding, and then during a match, I just don't put it into practice. Like, No excuse.
No excuse.
No excuse.
No.
What a jerk.
That's something if I played Standard again, I would 100% have to do.
What a big time jerk. I don't think through all the consequences of a particular play leading to mistakes that could have been solved by less than a minute of thinking.
Yeah, like when you break it down, you're like, oh, I'm gonna take 15 seconds.
Yes. And I'm talking about sometimes even if I choose to cast a spell and then I don't stop and think about which lands I'm going to tap, which isn't one that I do all that much anymore.
Right.
That one I've gotten pretty good about, but that's an example of the type of mistake that I make where I'll tap out of a color that I need.
Right.
And it's like, it would have literally taken me 2 seconds to be like, don't tap that planes right now.
You need that planes.
You need it. I forget triggers.
No, yeah.
Yep. I develop card and color biases in limited.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily bad all the time.
That's true, but I think that I do it based on just what I'm enjoying at the time, yeah. And not based on what's good.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't evaluate the best spells or creatures me or my opponent has. And that's like, I think that one has like a lot of layers, because that also ties back into like the not knowing what creatures I should kill, or it can be about like what knowing what spells to counter, or when I'm sequencing my spells against a deck that, which we'll talk about in the Pro Tour Gauntlet,
yeah,
against a deck that might counter them, choosing correctly how to sequence my spells so that I have the greatest chance of resolving the most relevant things.
Right, and knowing what your opponent could potentially have to disrupt your plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Great list.
All right. It was a lot of things.
Yeah, but that's so good. Like, and
what's wrong with me?
Here's the thing. All of these things, fixable.
I know.
All of them. This is what would be neat to check back in a year and be like, how many of these can I check off and at least say that I feel like I've improved on them?
Yeah.
My list is much shorter, but you've pointed out a lot of things that I feel as well. I think that my number one problem is that I play too fast. And I've said this on the show 100,000 times. I'm getting better at it, but it's a very slow and steady pace of getting better at being slower. Like, and playing too fast leads to a number of the problems that Megan brought up, like tapping your lands incorrectly or forgetting a trigger, mm-hmm. or just like misevaluating or misplaying because you're just like speed. Mm-hmm. Which is just, it's been the source of many of my woes. So it's something I'm continually working on. I put at the top of my list because it's my number one thing. I'm too aggressive often in formats when I shouldn't be, when I should be hanging back and playing the control game. Instead, I'm just like, but I really just want to attack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I've got to learn to hang back sometimes. I get scared when I sit down across from my opponent, and this is me saying this at playing, 4 years in. I get intimidated from people like Megan mentioned who sit down and shuffle like shuffling masters, and they just stare at you and they're like, hey, ready to throw down? Welcome to Pain Town. So I don't want to get intimidated when I sit down across from people, and me just saying things like, hey, I think we're better players than we think we are, just tries to reinforce that belief in myself that, you know what, I've worked really hard to be where we are, and that counts for something.
Yeah.
In draft, I am too swayed by rares. So I love playing with powerful rares. And
who doesn't?
Who doesn't? And even if a card that's like a common removal spell or something is better, I still want to pick the sweet creature, even if I shouldn't, even if it's not best for my deck. I'm just like, I want to play with that shiny, beautiful gold creature. Give it to me now. So, yeah, I know that that's a problem. And I think playing longer, the longer you play the game, the less you're swayed by rares.
Yeah.
Because you're just used to seeing them. And, you know, it's always going to be exciting, but I think the excitement level goes down a little bit to where you're better able to evaluate the cards based on their merits. I don't stand up enough for myself during judge calls, and I don't call a judge as often as I should. I let people get away with stuff far too often. I've talked about it on the show a number of times, incidents where I could have stood up for myself and I didn't. So I'm getting a little bit better at it, but once again, I could improve at a faster pace. I think something that I've improved on in the recent future, I'm a time traveler.
The recent future
is shuffling. I think I've gotten better at shuffling. I used to be really lazy about it, and I shouldn't be. I should always shuffle, like a minimum number of times before I present my deck to my opponent, and I've kind of tried to stick to that. So those are like kind of my things, but I think I play too fast is really kind of like the headlining thing where you could, if I wanted to, break it down into about 20 things under that are the issue. So yeah, I'm going to continue working on these. Megan, do you have a positives list?
No, I was just thinking, like, I think, as I was making my list, I kind of thought over things. Like, when I was putting the Mulligan one on there, I put it down because it's still an area that I have to work on. But I also think that in the last few months, I've gotten a lot better at Mulligans. Mm-hmm. I think that especially when it comes to evaluating my opening hand based on what my deck's plan is, I've gotten a lot better at that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, your mulliganing thoughts have really helped me become a better mulliganer.
Well, thank you.
One of your thoughts was, I will be more inclined to keep a hand if there's only one card that it's missing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a pretty good rule. And I think it's helped me become a better mulliganer.
Yeah.
Like I said. So, yeah. Mulliganing. We could do a whole show about it. And maybe we probably should.
We probably have. We definitely
we
have.
We definitely have.
We definitely have.
Do it again. You know.
Yeah. Always worth revisiting.
It's like the Gilmore Girls again. Coming back.
Have you ever watched a Gilmore Girls?
No, I have never seen a single episode. Is it good? What's the deal? It's like a mom and a daughter and their friends. What is this? Some kind of magical Christmas land?
Yeah, basically. It's great.
Okay.
I like it. They talk really fast. That's kind of the show's deal.
It's like witty banter?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds nice.
So they know. So you know a little bit about TV scripts. Or
yes.
Scripts. For 40-minute episodes, their scripts were 70 pages.
That's insane.
Right?
That's how quickly they talk. Now I just want to watch it to see how fast they talk.
Isn't that insane?
Are they like auctioneers? Hey, Mom, I'm going to go down to the park and meet my friend. That's okay, honey. Be back by 11:30 p.m. I'll have a snack waiting for you when you get home. Side note, I would watch auctioneers.
10 o'clock bedtime, 10 o'clock bedtime. Did I hear 11? 11 o'clock bedtime. All right, curfew is 11, 11 o'clock, but you're in bed by 11:30. If you have to do your homework, you do your homework before you go out with your friends. Do your friends. Do you hear me? Do you have homework? Do you have biology homework? Is your biology homework done? Great. Biology homework done. Sold.
I would watch the show of Auctioneer Family.
Oh my God.
Call us, Netflix. We've got nonstop good ideas. Many of which were born in flavor text theaters.
That would be the worst show.
It would be a terrible show.
Time.
Never make it.
It'd be hilarious.
Like, you would want to throw your TV out the window.
Yeah.
Within 5 minutes.
It would be horrible.
Oh. So, yeah, make your own fearless magic inventory.
Yeah.
List the things that you think you could improve at and things that you think you're great at. Mm-hmm. And then here's the most important part. Take action. You can't just write them down and forget about it. Paste them up on your bathroom mirror. Every morning when you get up, you look at yourself in the mirror. You stare in the eyes of your own soul and say, hey,
yeah,
you're beautiful. You know that?
But
you also got to do these things to match it better, you know?
But don't write, what's wrong with me at the top of the list in that case.
Yeah, don't do that. Commander 2016!
Hey everybody, there's a new Commander set coming out, and in it, there are not one,
no,
not three,
no,
two, I feel like, oh, well,
what?
Two new types of Commander.
What? What are you talking about, Megan?
I'm talking about four color Commanders.
Sweet.
How many colors?
Four.
Not five, not three.
Four.
Four.
Four. No. That's 2+2 for those of you keeping track at home.
We also have Partner.
Partner!
Partner. Guess what?
These commanders work at a law firm.
Yeah. They've been working there long enough and they're well respected enough by their colleagues that they made Partner. Their name is up on the wall.
Yeah, Commander 2016, you guys. It's coming out on the 11th of November. And previews have started and people are going crazy because four color commander is pretty sweet because that means you can play four colors in your deck.
Four colors of card.
Yeah, Commander. Megan and I actually haven't talked a ton about Commander on this show.
No.
If you want to go deep, listen to our good buddies over at the Command Zone.
Yeah.
They'll give you all the what's what on Commander 2016, but we wanted to touch on it a little bit here today because so many people play. It's a really popular format. I made a video about it. You can check it out on dailymtg.com. Hasn't been released yet. I throw a Commander party, but it will be coming out pretty soon. Take a look at what happened during my Commander party.
We are gonna have a Commander party. We're gonna have a commander party. We are gonna have a commander party.
So bring
your commander and something to share.
My friend actually brought six different commander decks and I picked one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Karametra is the deck I went with.
Nice.
And I made a lot of creatures, a lot of plant tokens that ended up being enormous thanks to Avenger of Zendikar.
Oh,
plus
yeah.
Plus Coat of Arms. Somebody else had a Coat of Arms in play, which buffs up creatures that share a type. So it was pretty sweet.
Very cool.
Pretty sweet. Anyway, So yeah, four color commanders, something that has been like promised for a long time, and here they finally are.
Yes. First we have Breya, Ethereum Shaper.
This art is B to the A.
Yes. Someone on Twitter was like, it looks like Lady Gaga, right? And it does.
It does.
I 100% see it. She is white, blue, black, red. Legendary artifact creature human. She is a 4/4. When she enters the battlefield, you get 2/1/1 blue thopters.
What?
What?
Blue thopters? Since when?
Since Breya, man.
Cool.
Blue artifact thopters with flying, obviously. You can pay 2 and sacrifice 2 artifacts to deal 3 damage to target player, give a creature -4/-4, or gain 5 life.
That's a pretty powerful commander, very flexible as well. Mm-hmm. I want to build an artifact deck with her.
She also looks awesome.
We have, how do I say this? Saskia, the Unyielding.
Yeah.
Sweet. Human Soldier, 3/4. Black, red, green, white.
Nice.
Vigilance and haste. I like those things. Mm-hmm. When Saskia enters the battlefield, choose a player. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, it deals that much damage to the chosen player. So you don't even have to attack and be like, hey, look, my commander's doing it.
Wait, what? Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, it deals that much damage. So it basically means that you get double damage.
Double damage, yeah.
Wow.
Sweet.
You can deal damage to someone without ever having to attack them.
Yeah, you're just like...
Mean.
What's up? Killing 2 people here. No big deal.
Killing 2 people.
Shink, shink. Knives in both hands. Psh! Stab.
Did you stab, like, over your shoulder?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool.
And backhanded, actually. Yeah,
backhanded over the...
I've got, like, I don't know what kind of muscles I would need to be good at that stab. Like, these ones, biceps?
Yeah. And, like, the ones that, like, are behind your shoulders?
Triceps? What's back there?
Let's not talk. We're not doctors.
Look, this is not a medical podcast.
This is not a medical podcast.
This is not Steve's muscles episode, which, no. By the way, go listen to that episode. Great episode.
It's a great episode.
Anyway.
Then we have Atraxa, Praetor's Voice.
Ooh.
She is an angel horror, green, white, blue, black, for a 4/4 with flying, vigilance, death touch, and lifelink. At the beginning of your end step, proliferate.
That's
where you can choose any number of counters on things and give them more counters of that kind.
Counters are fun.
Yeah. That's what she thinks too. Attracts of the angel horror.
Yeah, she's cool.
So those are the 3 4 color commanders that we have seen so far. I think there's going to be 2 more.
Yep.
Sweet.
And then we have the commanders that are not going to be 4 colors, but that doesn't mean they're not new, because they are. And they have the mechanic partner.
Yes.
Which means you can have 2 commanders, everybody. You don't just have 1, you can have 2.
That's
what?
Right, as long as they both have partner.
So one that I think is just fantastic is Bruce Tarl, Boorish Herder.
This dude,
the art on this is so good.
Oh, it's great.
It's like
just like a
him.
Big muscle dude from the circus. It's like a old school circus dude.
Yeah.
Muscle man with like his giant mustache.
He is a 3/3 for 2 red white. Boros, obvi. Mm-hmm. Whenever he enters the battlefield or attacks, target creature you control gains double strike and lifelink until end of turn.
Ooh,
seems
nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, seems pretty good.
I'd partner up with Bruce Tarl.
Bruce Tarl.
We could run like a cheese shop in town. Doesn't he look like a butcher or something?
Well, let's talk about Dr. Frankenstein over here.
Okay.
Crom Ludovic's Opus. 3 blue red, 4/4, flying haste. Whenever an opponent casts his or her second spell each turn, draw a card. Partner. But flavor text, it lives. It lives!
Ludovic. Awesome. I love that punishes people for drawing cards, because you know what? In that commander party that I had...
No, it punishes them for playing spells.
Oh, for playing... Oh, a second spell. Okay, never
mind.
So
do you know what it actually rewards? Is instants. Or things with flash, I guess.
Yeah, and that makes sense, it being an Izzet card.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, lots of sweet new cards. You can check them out. We're looking at Mythic Spoiler right now for all the ones that have been currently spoiled. Partner, what a sweet idea, because it lets you expand kind of the colors that your deck can be without having to just like settle on one commander. You split it across 2.
Yeah, it's yet another way to have 4 colors.
Ah, good point.
Ooh.
Good point.
Ooh.
So, like... So spooky.
Spooky.
So just
I'm done.
FYI. All of your commanders, if you're doing partner and you have two, they're each treated individually for all the commander rules. So it's not like, I don't know if there's cards like, kill your commander. It wouldn't kill both of them. It would be like this one. I don't know if that's a card, though. I don't play a lot of commander. So it means either one of the two. So just FYI about that. But yeah, dailymtg.com has a lot of sweet stuff about the new commanders. So go and check that out if you're interested in making a new commander deck. I've been thinking, you know, Vile Smasher the Fierce is a sweet little goblin. But what I really want is to make an Exava commander deck.
Exava. Your first true love.
It's true. And I want to make some Unleash happen.
No one would let me have Treasure Cruise as a commander.
You wouldn't be the only one, I think, that would want that.
No. No, I don't think I would.
Here's my commander, Treasure Cruise.
It's a boat.
Why not? Commander sounds like somebody who commands a boat.
Exactly.
You know.
Sky Sovereign should be able to be a commander. It's a freaking boat.
It's a Sky Sovereign.
Exactly. It's a legendary boat. Do you know who's heard of that boat? Everybody. Okay. Boat's legendary.
You know how we make a lot of wild predictions on the show that somehow end up being true?
Yes.
Okay. Right now, I'm going to predict that there will be a commander card printed, not necessarily now, but in the future, that allows for you to add legendary creature as a card type to a card that's not.
Wait. Say that one more time.
So it'll be like some kind of card that's, you know, I don't know what kind of card it could possibly be. Yeah. An enchantment or a sorcery or something. But you can attach it. So like it adds legendary creature to the cards. Like,
but you still couldn't make any card your commander.
Why?
Because it has to be legendary when it's in the command zone. And that effect wouldn't apply to it while it's in the command zone.
Yeah, it would have to be some kind of weird rules change, I suppose.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is...
This dream might be too big, kid.
This is definitely the biggest claim I've ever made about something that will happen because it's really improbable. But, like, wouldn't it be great if Treasure Cruise could be your commander?
I would be very happy.
You know?
Someday they'll make it so that... Maybe... Okay, here's it. Here's what you could predict.
Okay.
Someday you could have a legendary non-creature be your commander.
Okay.
That's a big prediction.
That is also a big prediction.
That is a huge prediction.
Treasure Cruise, coming up at you, Megan. We haven't made enough predictions on this show recently.
No. I was wondering, God, I feel like there might already be something that, like, makes a creature legendary.
Probably.
It doesn't sound insane.
Yeah, I think that probably is a thing. Anyway.
I don't know why it sounds insane.
Yeah, we're commander noobs, so we're just like a lot of you out there. But also a lot of you know more than we do, so tell us when we say wrong things.
Anyways, but tell us or tweet at us which of these commanders you're interested in trying to build a deck around.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be making any of them, you know, be work buddies.
at your law firm.
At your law firm.
Pro Tour Gauntlet. Hey, do you want to be like a pro, but you don't want to spend $1 billion on a deck that you don't know you're going to love?
Yeah. Guess what? You can until tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is today.
Today.
Well, everybody, the Pro Tour Gauntlet just happened. And if you didn't get to test any of those decks, we're going to tell you about a couple that we played.
Yes.
The Pro Tour Gauntlet is they choose constructed decks that did well at the Pro Tour. And then they put them into an event on Magic Online where it's, I think, like 100 play points or 10 tickets, maybe fewer tickets than that. Anyways, 100 play points, and you just get randomly assigned a deck, and everyone else gets randomly assigned a deck.
Yep.
And then you play 3 matches with it.
Yeah.
And it's Swiss, so you get to play all 3 out.
Yeah, which is great because you might not be familiar with these decks, and you just want to kind of get a feel for them. And you get to play with some of the most powerful decks that have happened so far in the format.
Yeah.
So, Megan, did you gauntlet it up?
I did gauntlet it up.
What the heck did you play?
So I got Temur Colossus.
Sweet.
Which is on here. It's a deck that went 7-3. It is from Oliver Pollock Rotman. Oliver Pollock Rotman, Teamer Colossus.
Sweet.
And I got this deck and I was like, holy cow, I don't know what is going on. But then I cast, on turn six, I cast three Metalwork Colossuses for free. And I was like, sure, why not?
This That's what great. It's doing. How was it?
It was a lot of fun. It was really good. I went 2-1. I beat two variants of blue white flash, or two blue white flash, and then I lost two of the green white mid range deck.
Yeah.
And you know, it was a lot of fun. There were times when someone would go like turn one Thraben Inspector, turn two Smuggler's Copter, and I was like, I'm screwed. Because
yeah.
It was short on like answers to Smuggler's Copter. It does have it's a deck that focuses on making energy and kind of locking up the board with Deadlock Trap.
Sweet.
Gaining some life with stuff like Woodweaver's Puzzle Knot, and then landing giant Metalwork Colossuses for basically free.
Wow.
And then you can go and get more with Sanctum of Ugin if you only had one. Or sorry, Sanctum of Eugene.
Eugene.
I just haven't said it in so long.
I know.
Yeah, with Sanctum of Eugene. So yeah, it's basically a ramp deck. This is kind of what made me think today about like how I sometimes have trouble being proactive. This deck was really crazy in that I would basically stabilize and then become the aggressor in sometimes like the same turn.
Yeah.
Like all
those
of a sudden,
are 10-10s.
Exactly. And I would be like, okay, like I hit my sky, like I'll play a Sky Sovereign and I'll kill one of their things. And then I'll play like Colossus. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, it's my, like I'm the person attacking now because I have you dead absurdly quickly, even though up until this turn, you were the one attacking me the whole time.
I'm just happy that somebody built a deck around this card. I think it's ridiculously fun.
It
a 10-10 for 11.
Cool.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. And you cast it for free.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
Seems like a deal.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I would say that it was sometimes like the blue-white matches were close. And I think at least one of them I won because I just don't think that my opponent was, you know, obviously being very new, was like kind of made some iffy decisions.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's really, man, also you just sometimes say hold up mana and you're like, oh, you're gonna try and flash in a Rattle Chains or a Spell Quell.
I know what you're
and it's
up
like,
to.
You play like Glint Nest Crane and it's like, well, do you want to counter it?
Yeah.
Or do you want to flash in your 2/1, which will like this 1/3 will just eat? So it was, do you know what? It was like surprisingly very fun. I didn't love how soft it sometimes felt to Smuggler's Copter.
Yeah.
Like the absence of hard removal in the deck, I felt like was sometimes a bit of an issue. But overall, it was very fun to play.
Did you play another one of these decks?
No, that's the only one that I've played so far.
So I didn't do the Pro Tour Gauntlet.
Yeah.
But I have been kind of playing around with Craig Wesco's list from the Pro Tour, which is basically mono white. What a surprise. But it does have black in there because it wants to cast Scrap Heap Scrounger, kind of as a card that helps you have a little bit of inevitability because you can return for the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I picked up on it is because I did play mono white in the last standard rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And the deck is very similar. Like, it's still even playing Always Watching.
Yeah.
So that's great. It's still playing Thraben Inspector, like a lot of people are playing Thraben Inspector.
Gosh, you guys. Thraben Inspector
so
into Smuggler's Copter.
Yeah, just like GG.
Yeah.
This deck particularly wants to play Toolcraft Exemplar on turn one, followed by a Smuggler's Copter or a Thraben Inspector or something so that you can hit for three on turn two, which is kind of ridiculous. But it's... I mean, it's just like all my old memories came flooding back to me. I'm just playing a couple of Gideons, which is very good in this meta, and just kind of smashing and playing my all. I love Always Watching. That is just like my dream. Like I attack and then I don't have to worry because my creatures have vigilance. Ah, so great. And
unless they get fumigated.
Yeah, that's where Scrap Heap Scrounger comes in because your Smuggler's Copter will still be around, hopefully. You just exile somebody from the graveyard and Scrap Heap Scrounger's like, I'm back, everybody! Time to scrounge some more! And you're like, oh, you're so dirty and you smell like garbage, but get in. And it's attacking for three again. Or crewing your cop. You're getting in there. Get to the chopper, buddy.
You're so dirty. Smell like garbage. You mean in the Scrap Heap again?
That's my name. I'm Scrap Heap Scrounger. I'm like a little robot raccoon. Anyway, So yeah, I had a lot of fun playing that deck, and I think if there was ever a tournament that I was going to attend, I would play that deck.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I mean, it's definitely not like as powerful, quote unquote, as like a blue control deck or anything like that, but
yeah,
gall darn it if it isn't the kind of deck that I want to play.
You know, I really like the gauntlet because something like Temur Colossus, looking at this list,
you wouldn't have chosen it.
No, out of this list, and I generally try a lot of decks, you know, getting ready for GP Dallas Fort Worth. I made a list of like 10 modern decks that I was like, I'm gonna try these.
Yeah.
And I did try most of them. Which is how I settled on my surprising choice. And like this, I just don't know that this would even make the list of things that I would have tried. Yeah. But I tried it out and it's like, oh, this was like a lot of fun.
Sometimes you don't know you like peanut butter ice cream until you eat it.
No, I would like it.
Okay. But yeah, so kind of the new deck that's like popped up this weekend, besides like talking about the Pro Tour decks, we had GP Providence.
Yes.
Which happened over in Rhode Island. And you were in Rhode Island for something totally unrelated.
I was like 30 minutes south of Providence.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, GP happening there. And Green Black Delirium was the victor. But there was another GP happening where I think 7 out of 8 of the decks in the top 8 were Blue White Flash.
Oh, God. Blue White Flash, I can already smell it.
So can I.
It's already the Bant Coco.
It is.
Of this
it
year.
It already is, and it's making me mad because I hate Spell Queller. I hate it. Do you hear me?
Yeah, no, Spell Queller is the world's biggest nuisance.
I hate it so much. I don't even care about Avacyn. I don't care about your Selfless Spirit. I don't care about any of that stuff. I don't even care about
Spell Queller. Can just bite it big time.
Yeah, Spell Queller's the worst. I'm calling it right now.
Spell Queller, worst.
Spell Queller, the new Siege Rhino.
Oh, man, that's a bold claim.
I know, it is. But it's so annoying.
Yeah.
Just like Siege Rhino was so annoying, just like Arborback Stomper is so annoying when you've got somebody down to 3 in a draft.
You know, I'm so conflicted.
Why?
Because
you love it is control? A creature. Yeah.
You know, and creatures can suck it, generally speaking. But it is also kind of a counter spell.
Yeah.
I love counter spells.
How are you going to reconcile this,
Megan? I don't know how to feel.
I get it.
Oh, man. Life is complicated.
It is. And you know what? Magic is also complicated. But that's why we play it, Megan.
Yeah.
We don't play it because it's easy. We play it because it's hard.
What is that from? Everything?
Everything ever.
Every sports movie ever. Every sports movie is obligated to use that quote at least once.
Yeah, or else it can't be classified as sports movie.
Otherwise, it's not a sports movie. The whole thing is about football, and they're like, why aren't we under sports? And they're like, well, you didn't say the line.
No, you're under rom-com.
Sorry.
It's obviously a love story about this man and his football. Yep. Because you didn't say the line.
Yeah. How dare you.
So, yeah, Megan, are you thinking about Standard coming up in the near future? I know you've got Modern on the mind right now.
Yeah, right now I really do.
But you've got Denver to look forward to.
That's true. Man. Think about it.
You're going to have to play a deck and make your next day two, your third day two is what's going to happen.
What? I've only made one so far.
I know.
You're really putting the fire to my feet.
I am.
Have you seen Shakespeare in Love?
Unfortunately.
I know, right? It's like not good. It doesn't hold up. But anyways.
Did you watch it recently or something?
I tried to because I forgot that it was bad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think I'd watched it since whenever it came out million years ago. It's terrible.
It's really bad. And didn't it win Best Picture?
Terrible. It did.
What? That's all I have to say.
And it did. And I'm really sorry to tell you that the guy who wrote that film is best friends with the guy who wrote Will in the World.
Really?
Yes. The Will in the World guy says it in the intro to his book.
Oh, I love that book. That's my favorite Shakespeare book.
I'm really sorry to break this news to you. Anyways, they are literally the theater owner, his creditor.
No way.
To whom he is in debt, literally puts his feet in the fire.
That's true.
Like over a fire.
Oh, God. And then they write Romeo and Juliet like while they're doing it.
Yeah, basically.
And I'm like,
there's like a weird, really crappy montage where they're like rehearsing it on stage and he's like writing it and they're like making out and saying the lines to each other and you're like, this is the worst montage ever conceived. And you're butchering is it Romeo and Juliet?
Yes.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
It is.
And wait, are you sure?
I am Yes, because that's the one they do, right? What else could it be?
No, you're right, because it starts out as Romeo and Ethel, the pirate's daughter, or some shit like that.
God! And have you heard this news?
Why are we reliving this film right now?
It's I could go
so
on.
So bad.
I'm already mad it's about so Shakespeare bad. Stuff, because in the news is somebody who's trying to put Christopher Marlowe as
they
co-author
did, buddy.
On some plays.
They put them on three. They put them on Henry VI.
Makes me so mad.
Yeah. Well, you should be more angry that the picture that all of the news outlets are using is one of the portraits that it's not even confirmed to be William Shakespeare.
Well, that figures.
It's one of the better looking ones, but it's not one of the ones that's confirmed.
Look, we can talk about this all day. We probably should have another podcast.
But let me sum up by saying
yes.
That if you were going to watch a Shakespeare-inspired film,
yeah.
It should be She's the Man.
God damn it! I thought it was going to be a good recommendation!
It is! It's the best recommendation!
And now the spookiest segment on Magic the Amateuring. Flavor Text Theater presents Halloween's Trick-or-Treating! We're going to crack this pack of Kaladesh, and we're going to knock on your doors, trick-or-treaters, and we're going to have to figure
right.
out who's... dressed as what?
Because the scariest thing on Halloween is strangers.
True. Besides okay. knives and your Snickers.
Oh, I saw this one, so.
Okay. Maybe whatever we pick here will be like a legitimate. I just want you out there in listener land to imagine us dressed as whatever we are.
And remember that these are going to go into the pile for the Patreon giveaway at the end of the month, which we'll be drawing next week when we record.
So, yeah, it'll technically come out in November, but we'll be recording it in October, so
that's
it counts.
That's right. Oh, hold on. That's not a... Okay. That's
not a costume.
That's not a costume.
Ding dong!
Give me all your candy! I'm sorry.
Give it to me.
Are you a porcupine? You a lizard? You're some sort of a freaky lizard.
I'm a metal lizard.
Oh.
Give me your candy.
Are you a,
I have menace.
What is it? Yeah, no, it's the 3-2.
You
for
got
three,
it.
That you pay red to give it menace. What is it? Hold on. Ah, Weldfast Monitor.
I'm Weldfast Monitor.
Weldfast Monitor.
That'd be a tough costume.
All right. Ding dong.
Oh, you look so cute.
Oh, thank you.
What are you?
Well, I mean, can't you tell? Everything I have is just the nicest.
Oh.
Everything is the nicest. I'm like the apex of everything being the finest.
The apex.
No.
Unnatural no, appetite.
Just like the apex.
Oh. Someone who's
like
very
this,
fancy.
This armor that I'm wearing, just the nicest.
Mm-hmm.
This giant axe that I'm carrying, scythe, this banister that I'm standing next to, just the nicest. Everything that I have is the greatest. Because I don't have long to have it.
Oh,
So I'm just going to make, and this wonderful helmet, this wonderful filigree helmet. That I'm wearing, just the nicest.
Wow, I thought I had it until you told me the helmet thing.
You could just come in out of your house.
Okay.
Come into my house.
From my house?
From your house. My
okay,
house
could, yeah.
is basically a palace.
Oh, wow.
It's a palace. I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to look at a couple of things in your house and I'm going to take one of them to put in my house.
Oh, so you're trading my stuff for your stuff.
No. I'm just taking your stuff.
Confiscation coup.
No, I'm just going to take
it. Saheeli's artistry.
No, I'm just taking... I like these four things. I like this table, I like this lamp, I like this chair, and I like this rug. I'll take the rug. I'm going to take the rug. I looked at all four of these things of yours.
Oh.
And I take your rug.
Gaunty Lord of Luxury!
That is me.
I should have known! Oh, that one's not very good.
Okay.
Ding dong!
Come in. Or open the door. Door open.
Trick or treat!
Hey, what are you, buddy?
I am beautiful. When the sun shines on me, I make rainbows. I also can see your future. Would you like to know how you die?
No.
Oh.
Are you a weird oracle? You're like a rainbow oracle?
No, but...
you're a prophetic person.
That's right.
That'd be a sweet costume. Only magic players would get it, but...
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, get in my car, because we're going to go fast.
Stranger danger.
Sorry, ding dong. Open the door. I already opened it for you because do you know what?
What?
I got there first. I got to the door first because I got there quickly.
Speedway fanatic.
No.
What?
I got to the door first. I am also quick and just look, hop in my car. We're going to get there first. Okay?
Gear shift ace.
Yes.
Okay. Ding dong.
Hello.
Hi. I'm sultry. And I have a lot of energy, but if you give me more, I'll pack a bigger punch.
Oh, are you,
I can't purr because I can roar. That's just science.
What?
I'm a pretty good green card.
You're a riparian tiger.
Yes.
You weirdo.
That's how I feel like a tiger, like when it walks, it's like very kind of like
ding dong.
Fuck you. Yes. What? Hello. Stop poking me. Stop poking me. Stop. Spireside infiltrator, because you're a pinger. Ow. Your poke is very strong.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that, like the, you know.
My weak spot?
Yeah, like what is it called?
A though? Bruise?
No, like what's it called? It's like the one.
Like
you know.
Your button. You're pushing my buttons.
No.
This is the worst massage I've ever had.
Look, it's just like, look, I'm just going to. Like, I'm just tapping you down, okay? Just tapping you down.
Oh, you're tapping me. I see. Okay, you are...
I'm trying to find that one...
Janjeet Sentry.
No, I'm trying to find that one spot, you know? Like,
you found it multiple times, let me tell you.
Oh, like, what's it called?
Pain!
No, it's, you know, like, in the neck or in, like, when, you know, like...
Trigger!
When trigger Vulcans point. Do that thing and they're like... Oh. Because they found, like, a...
What pinch!
Yeah, you pin... It's like a...
Pinch?
No.
Poke?
No.
All I could say is I'm going to have so many bruises tomorrow. You're a tapper who also tries to poke you.
No, I'm just, I'm tapping once. Just
tap.
Done.
Tap done. Oh, you only tap once. Oh. Ow! Deadlock trap. Nope, we already have a rare. You come into play, you tap something?
Look, I'm not a creature, okay?
Oh.
What's that, you know? It's like in the neck or in like a shoulder and it's in like your hands.
You nerve.
Have yeah, but it's like a particular, and then if you hit somebody, it really hurts.
I don't know.
Look, what? it's like this one point. It's this one point.
I don't know.
I'm pressure point.
Oh, pressure point. God dang it. Oh, that makes so much sense.
Those of you who are not watching, I just jabbed Maria in the arm with my... I just poked Maria in the arm multiple times.
A lot of times.
For about a minute and a half.
A lot of times.
Do you know what? If you had gotten it faster, I wouldn't have had to.
Ding dong.
Come in.
I'm stuffed with a lot of pillows to make me fat.
You personally?
Yes. Yeah, I'm large. I get bonuses in the front and in back, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink.
I don't want to know what you mean.
But also, I make you into a jerk. Because I get menaced.
You're a giant spectacle?
I'm giant spectacle for Halloween.
You should
give me candy.
I wanted you to be a giant pair of glasses.
Yeah. I'm so bad at guessing.
Ding dong.
Oh, you look so adorable. What are you?
Here, have this flower.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. Are you sick? Why do you sound like a sick Victorian orphan? Are you dying? Die young. Go there. Well, those are some costume ideas for you out there in the listener land. If you didn't have a costume picked yet, you can also join Megan and my Ghostbuster squad and become a Ghostbuster with us.
That's right.
Because we're only two people, and two people isn't enough for a whole team of ghost busting.
Man, you can't bust many ghosts with only four hands.
Yep. We need more hands for Ghostbusting.
It's true. It's true.
Please tweet your costumes at MTA Cast just because we want to see them and not for a creepy scrapbook. These cards going into the Patreon pile.
That's right. Please, if you are able, help us make this show and keep it going strong by donating at patreon.com/MTAcast. As little as a dollar an episode goes a really long ways. As we mentioned, yep. Starting November, if you pledge after November, starting on November 1st, we are going to have new levels.
Yes.
You can still pledge at a dollar. You will get a thank you about how grateful we are.
You are just literally one of the best people in the world. That's a fact.
Yes.
And that's what you're going to get.
Exactly. For $2, you will get a sticker.
Yep.
And also, if your Twitter account is on there, we'll throw you a shout out on Twitter just being like, you are the greatest.
You're cool.
And if you donate at $5, we are having, you guys, custom magnetic poetry made.
Custom magnetic poetry. There are going to be
sheets of custom. It's like, yeah, it's like a full sheet. It has 50 MTA cast words that we dreamed up about MTA cast and our little logo on it.
It's going to be so cool.
And so you will get one of those, which I'm so excited about.
I'm so excited too.
We saw them at the moon base when we went to the pre-release.
We stole this idea 100% from Loading Ready Run.
100% stole it. They're so cool. I'm so excited to have one and break up all the little words and make silly sentences out of them.
Yeah, so you're going to have to pledge at that level for a certain number of months to get that reward because, yeah, we just don't want people to game the system. So that will just check in on Patreon on the 1st and you'll be able to see that reward level change.
Yep. And $10 will remain at, you get all the stuff that comes beforehand, obviously, and also a playmat.
Playmat. So. Yeah, so those will be our new levels. We just had to change things up just because business is really tough when you're just two people and you have other jobs, which we do. So we had to make things a little easier on ourselves, but I think everything is still really, really great. And all of these rewards are something that I would want to get if I was a listener of a show that I really love. So, before then you still have time to get in at $5 to grab the shirt after 3 months of donation. So if that's something you really are interested in, get in now,
because you don't have a lot of time. Of course, be available on our website as well though.
Very true. Yes. Thank you to everybody who is a patron in the less than 1% club. We really appreciate it, as you mentioned at the top of the show. It's basically our lifeblood at this point, so you're keeping our lights on, literally. Thank you so much. Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. I hope you had a happy Halloween episode with Magic the Amateuring, and I hope you have a really happy Halloween out there in real life, too, when it happens on next Monday.
Yes. Remember that if you're going out and partying to drink responsibly, either have a designated driver or have Uber or Lyft on your phone or call a cab or walk if you're within walking distance, but do not drink and drive.
No. If you have a cat, remember to not let your cat drink and drive because those things...
Cats are especially notorious for that kind of behavior, man.
They're drunks, okay? Let's just call it what it is. A cat likes its drinks. It's fine. Just don't let your cat, you know, get home.
Get behind the wheel.
Get behind the wheel, you know? So that's just my tip. Did you know this? That black cats are adopted in surprisingly low numbers compared to other colors of cats?
I believe that.
Isn't that sad? So let me take this moment to give you another PSA. Adopt a black cat because they're adopted way less than any other kind of color. So,
and they're just nice cats.
They're just nice cats. You guys, stop being superstitious, okay?
You can send us an email at magictheamateuring@gmail.com if you've got a question for us that you would like to have us address either via email or on the show. You can also contact us at MTAcast on Twitter and listen to this podcast on Stitcher, on iTunes, on
Google Play. We are available everywhere. Even on our website, you can listen. You guys, it's everywhere.
That's right.
A big thank you again to Card Kingdom, our sponsor. Remember to use /MTAcast when you go there to buy cards so they know that we sent you. Cardkingdom.com. We love them, and we couldn't be happier that they're the sponsor of the show because we know we're in good company. They sponsor other great shows, and they're just a great website and place to buy your cards. So thanks to Card Kingdom, and thanks to you for being part of our magical family. It's like I didn't birth you, but here you are. So you're like a cousin.
Yeah.